So some true confessions. I have to admit, you know, I have to give these talk titles way, way, way in advance. And I thought about the second Sunday of Advent, peace. What did I want to say? And I found a poem that has absolutely transformed my view of the world and viewed, helped me change the view of how I walk through this world. And so the old song, the old, I thought, campfire song, put another log on the fire. You know it? I hope you don't know all the lyrics. But I thought it was just a fun little sitting around the campfire song, so I made it the title of the talk today, Put Another Log on the Fire. And as I prepared to get ready for today, I thought I might want to just check out the lyrics to that song. It is basically a male chauvinist anthem. And every male pig that ever walked the face of the planet that subjugated women, that's what that song is. So I'm, in all fairness, I thought it might want to be a little bit fair here. I want to ask you a question. What would have been different had the three wise men been three wiser women? Any idea? Well, I can tell you for certain that they would have arrived on time because they would have had the guts to stop and ask for directions. And they certainly would have cleaned the stable right before they helped to deliver the baby. And they might have brought a casserole, and they certainly, as the cartoon says, would have brought much more practical gifts, yes? So I'm going to channel the divine feminine today. It's going to have a very masculine delivery, but it is the divine feminine. It is the strength that Sonia puts into her singing and into her truth and her living. But I want to the divine feminine to be given this today. Props. I want to call it out from me. I want to call it out from this community. And it may be a little disguised, but the feminine and masculine will be in partnership because that's what's absolutely needed on the second Sunday of Advent. So let me try to explain to you why I chose that as the title. It was not because I'm a male chauvinist. This is a poem by James Kinney that I remember the first time I heard it, and I believe it was one of the catalysts for me getting into ministry. Six humans were trapped by happenstance in bleak and bitter cold. Each one possessed a stick of wood, or so the story's told. Their dying fire in need of logs, the first man held his back. For of the faces around the fire, he noticed one was black. The next man, looking across the way, saw one not of his church, and he could not bring himself to give the fire his stick of birch. The third one sat in tattered clothes, and he gave his coat a hitch. Why should his log be used to warm the idle rich? The rich man, he just sat back and thought of the wealth that he had in store, and how to keep what he had earned from the lazy, shiftless poor. The black man's face bespoke revenge as the fire passed from his sight. For all he saw in his stick of wood was a chance to spite the white. The last man of this forlorn group did not accept for gain, giving only to those who give. That's how he played the game. Their logs held tight in death's still hands. The proof of human sin. They didn't die from the cold without. They died from the cold within. On this second Sunday of Advent, we celebrate the divine idea of peace. And it feels so good to come together and to have unity here in this room. But the peace that we have kindled today is an energy much more profound than a simple sentiment of peace. It invites us into a much deeper spiritual inquiry. A question that says, what is my role in the manifestation of peace? What is my responsibility in the manifestation of peace? You see, peace is not a passive state. that just simply drifts to us because we're good people, because we have really good intentions. Peace doesn't just drift to us. Peace on earth is not just something that happens because we're nice to each other in this room. It's an active, it is an emergent phenomena arising from individuals who one decision at a time, one choice at a time, one action at a time contribute to the well-being of the whole. It's offering a log of peace to the one you previously deemed as unworthy. It's offering the log of peace to the one that you just a moment ago deemed and judged as undeserving. It's wanting peace as much for you as I want it for myself. It's wanting peace as much for them as I want it for us. And in doing so, realize that there is no you and me, there is no us and them, there is only one essence and presence on the earth, and perhaps we have forgotten as we hold our logs close. Peace ultimately dies not because of environmental cold. It dies because of the frost of inner spiritual contraction, othering, otherness. Humanity is never diminished from external threat, but our annihilation will be from internal withdrawal. Let's say this together. Humanity is not diminished from external threat, but from internal withdrawal. For us, basically, what does that mean? It means that we're saying when we do this thing and hold that log tight that my resentments are more important than what we teach from this platform every single Sunday of the year. It's saying that my hurt and my wound and my pain and my resentment of you is more important than oneness. And if that's the case, then guess what? We're a house built on sand, folks. We might as well go home now. So my question today I ask of myself, as I am aware, we just finished Thanksgiving and all the logs that we have, all the blessings that we have, all the good that we have, where am I withholding that good? Where am I withholding my log? Where am I contributing inadvertently, unconsciously to the cold? What needs healing within me? So that peace on earth is not just a pretty Sunday idea, but it's a reality. Or perhaps, maybe at the very least, a possibility that's still alive and still burning. Traditionally, peace is framed as the absence of conflict, yes? That's how we usually define it. But it's something way more dynamic than that. It's an active principle, a conscious and intentional movement towards wholeness. A stepping into peace as opposed to stepping back from conflict. You know, I used to think that that was the way to do it. There's conflict, and I would run and I would hide and I wasn't participating. That's the chicken's way out. It is not about stepping back from violence. It is about stepping in as an adversary or as an advocate of peace. An active principle of stepping into peace as opposed to stepping back from darkness. Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, which is my favorite of the Gospels, let's say it together, blessed are the peacemakers. Let us notice the verb. Let us notice the verb in there. Make. Make. Blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus is pointing us to a creative process, not a passive state. To make peace requires intention. To make peace requires action, emotional effort and honesty, and spiritual courage. Yes? It requires adding our log to the collective fire, even when the part of us that's shaped by ego says, don't go first. Don't go first. It's dangerous. Don't put the log on first. You might get hurt. A peacemaker is an activist, not a passive recipient. Peace is not just a culture of stillness. It is an ethical environment of engagement. What does that mean? What does it mean? Let's put it in layman's terms, as I like to do. It means be the first person to do the right thing. Be the first person to do the kind thing. Be the first person to do the loving thing and quit waiting around for somebody else to put their log on the fire before you do it. Each of the characters in this poem holds a log, but they hold a lot more than a log. They hold an ingrained justification for withholding it. An ingrained, enmeshed justification for not adding my log. The reasons vary. They vary for all of us, but they share one thing in common. Each one is rooted in separation consciousness. Me and you. Us and them. It may have come about because of a very deep wound. We don't pretend that the wound did not happen. But here in this community, we consciously define ourselves not by the wounds, but by oneness. And there's nothing easy about that work. But as I hold you accountable, I invite you to hold me accountable. And we hold each other accountable to oneness and love and compassion and kindness and offering the warmth of a fire as more powerful than what happened to you. Who you are is more profoundly beautiful than what happened to you. Here we define ourselves by truth, not by wounds. That's not easy work, but it is absolutely imperative to peace on earth. The pretty idea of peace on earth that we sing about, that we pray about. Let's go a little bit deeper in my meddling. I'm going to meddle today, Joel. I hope that's okay. Psychology tells us that resentment is not just an emotion. That's usually what we think of. Resentment is just an emotion. Psychology says it's an identity structure. An identity structure providing a sense of moral superiority, even as it isolates us. Let's read that together. Resentment is not just an emotion. It's an identity structure providing a sense of moral superiority, even as it isolates us. Ouch. Ouch. Until we're willing to look at our ouches, nothing changes. Nothing heals. We wear our grievances, don't we? We have the evidence. We are lawyers for the long list of grievances about you, and we wear them like badges around. The badge of justified resentment. The badge of intellectual pride. The badge of inherited justice, inherited prejudice. The badge of fear-based self-protection that says, you owe me. Breathe. That's a badge I hear a lot of. Fear-based self-protection that says, you owe me. Nobody owes you anything. And if you're going around 40, 50 years saying, you owe me an apology, and I won't love until you do, guess who needs to shift the consciousness? If you're walking around saying, you owe me something, and I'm not going to be that divine Christ light that I have been designed to be until I get it from you, guess who needs to move? When we say that you owe me, what happens is once again, peace dies. The fire goes dim with our unwillingness to be the first one to stop the separation. And not only does peace die, so does evolution. And so does any hope of the unity that we love here, that we feel here. Teilhard de Chardin writes this. Let's read it together. We are continually tempted to hold ourselves apart, but evolution, spiritual evolution, moves toward union. Peace is an active stepping in to create peace, even when it hurts. It is an active stepping into peace, even when it is uncomfortable. It is not simply stepping back and going, I won't participate. Because what usually happens, I don't know about you, but I've seen it in the government. I'm going to be honest here. I step back. I'm not going to participate in those people that are so awful. Those people whose behaviors are so terrible. I'm living in judgment under the illusion of my arrogance that I'm not part of it. If you're not part of it and just ignoring it and putting judgment into the field, you are absolutely the center of it. You are the core of it. I'm holding my log black because they didn't behave in the way I thought they should have behaved. Our refusal to participate in the shared warmth of oneness becomes the very thing that extinguishes it. The very thing that extinguishes us. So, a little story. We've heard it before, but it bears repeating today. Two monks had taken a vow never to touch a woman. They had devoted their life to chastity. They were not going to touch a woman. And an older monk and a younger monk were out walking one day on a long hike, and they came to a river. And the bridge was out, and there was a woman there saying, "The bridge has just flooded out, and I can't get across. I need to get home." And the older monk said, "Please, get on my back, and I will help you across the river." And they went across the river, delivered her to her home, and then went about their hike in silence. Until about an hour later, the younger monk looked at the older monk and said, "How could you do that? You broke your vow. You carried her across that river. How could you do that?" The older monk looked at his friend and said, "I put her down an hour ago. You're still carrying her." His resentment reveals something that I think we need to look at today as a human race, as spiritual seekers, as participants in the earthly journey. We often carry the mental version of a moment far longer than the moment itself. I was carrying many wounds that were 30, 40 years old. And I realized that when I finally had the guts and the courage and the strength and the grounding enough to put my log into the fire, everything began to change around me, and everything began to change within me. The cold within is the residue of unexamined thought patterns. We meddle. We're going to meddle. We're going to dig into the psyche, into the heart and the spirit, and we're going to dig. And that's holy work. It's necessary work. It is important work. Richard Rohr knew this. Let's go ahead and put the next quote up there. Together, the pain we do not transform, we will transmit. We're transmitting a heck of a lot of pain, and I don't want to be part of the diminished fire. I want to be a part of the light, like a phoenix going into the fire and being reborn. You know, we humans and our human egos tend to construct identity through exclusion. Have you noticed that? We begin to define ourselves by the exclusion of people. Psychologists have noted that group identity nearly always includes a corresponding other, a corresponding outgroup. Thus, to cling to a grievance is to cling to my self-image. It's a souvenir of hell. Sometimes it's a souvenir of hell. I don't know who I am without my story. I can't put it into the fire and release it because I don't know who I am without it. I don't know who I am with a pain, and there's a whole planet full of victims walking through saying, "I've been victimized." Well, guess what? You, by not contributing the essence of the beauty and the power and the magnificence of how God chose to do business as you, is a part of the extinguishment of the human race. The fire is dying because you're so justified in holding on to your victimhood, in holding on to your pain. The refusal to contribute is often justified morally. I am morally right. Each person believes their withholding is righteous. It is righteous. This mirrors the theological danger that a gentleman named Reinhold Niebuhr warned of. And this is really important, and it does meddle, and it needs to be said. Let's read it together. Human beings are never more dangerous than when convinced of their own purity. A little bit of Jesus: forgive us our debtors as we forgive those. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I'm so worried about the log or the splinter in your eye that I've got a log hanging out of my eye, and it's asking to be examined, to be looked at, and offered to the fire so that there could be a greater warmth on the planet for those who have forgotten the warmth. Adding your log is not moral heroism, plain and simple. It is plain and simple spiritual maturity. How mature are we in this community? I'm going to invite you into a visualization, but I want you to take that poem in the intent, I believe, of the author and the intent of why it was important to say on this day of peace. The extinguishing in that fire in Kinney's poem is not a tragedy. It's an indictment. Folks, we got to start paying better attention. We're following the herd. We are lemmings going over the hill of what seems to be the common thought and the common idea. Hold on to mine because you don't deserve it. You owe me. You go first. That's middle school mentality. Actually, it's not middle school mentality because they're way more mature than we are sometimes. Close your eyes. A little music would be great. I want you to imagine those six figures around the fire. And then I want you to see a seventh figure coming in, entering the scene. And that seventh figure is you. Take a seat around the fire at the circle. You sit down as the change agent. You reimagine the parable. Advent places you into the narrative, into the circle, as the Christ in action. See yourself watching and seeing the coldness forming, the rigidity rising, the fire dimming. And see yourself standing up with your stick of wood and saying, here is my log. Here is my contribution. Here is my gift. One by one by one, the scene changes. The poem changes. This is what the lay leader team has been charged to do at Unity North. They're going to do tasks. They're going to do jobs. But this is the task of each of you as a member of this community to re-envision the circles, to take your log and put it on the fire, whether you think anybody deserves it or not. We belong to each other. And one by one, one thought, one action, we demonstrate a new paradigm.